Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Today, on You're Buying a Home with Silas Lindenstein, I have Kyle Hendricks from Movement Mortgage on as a guest to talk about house hacking. House hacking is that sort of art of buying a duplex and or a triplex, living in one unit or side and renting out the other unit or units, and how this can make things cheaper for you as a home buyer, especially a first-time home buyer, and how you can use this technique to take you further in your home buying journey than you could have gone by yourself. For those of you new to the program, my name is Silas Lindenstein. I am a real estate agent in the Seattle, Washington area. I hang my hat with boutique brokerage out here. If you live locally, you can always give me a call if you are looking to buy or sell a home. Or if you are looking to buy or sell somewhere else and you're still in need of a real estate agent, feel free to email me, silas@silasgetsreal.com. And I'll hook you up with an agent in your area. And of course, if you want my ebook, the How to Buy a Home ebook, You're Buying a Home with Silas Lindenstein ebook, which I'm currently updating right now, by the way, and that should be finished relatively soon. I will send you that free ebook if you just email me at silas@silasgetsreal.com. It's basically the first 10 episodes of this in written form. So you can just go back and listen to the first 10, or read this, or both. Maybe I'll make a movie. Maybe I'll have a video game. I don't know. Like the sky is the limit, really, here in America. So just relax, sit back, and listen to this episode, House Hacking, with special guest Kyle Hendricks of Movement Mortgage.
Silas gets real, buy and sell homes with a thrill. Out Seattle, baby, you know what's the deal. And he keep it real.
Welcome to the show. With me today is Kyle Hendricks from Movement Mortgage. I get that right? Did I get that all that right there? Okay.
Absolutely.
Where? Now, you're an interesting case. I met you from a networking group in Washington. And Washington State, but you work in many different states, right?
Yeah, absolutely. My team can kind of help all over the country. I'm personally licensed in 15 states, and growing, you know, all the time. Whenever I have a client that needs to buy somewhere else and it makes sense for me to go get that license, I can usually whip it out in a couple of days. So yeah, kind of do business all over.
Is there any disadvantage? Because I think some people, like, they worry. They're like, oh, I better work with a local person. Do you find there's any, like, does it really matter in the end for you?
It's a great question. It can. I would say I try to not be licensed in a state unless I have a pretty good knowledge of where my clients looking to invest. I work with a lot of first-time home buyers, as you know, but also with a lot of investors. So if I think another lender will serve them better in that market just because they're an expert in it or something like that, I will sometimes hand them off. But typically I'm pretty plugged in the investor community. And, you know, I'm a real estate nerd. So that's what I do in my free time, is kind of study different markets and stuff like that. So I have not ran into it too much where it's been an issue.
Okay. Well, it's good to know. Like, I know one of the reason I wanted to have you on as the topic for today was you seem to be pretty skilled with this. I think they call it house hacking, right?
Yep.
Where I've suggested to people, instead of just thinking about just buying that single home and saving up for that for long years and years, that if they're going to live in an apartment anyway, or live in a duplex, why not buy the duplex?
Yeah.
And have somebody else help pay. And you've done this yourself, right? Or something similar. What was your experience with this of renting part of the place you own?
Yeah, my experience was great. And that's part of the reason why I preach it so much. I've also not only done it myself, but helped a lot of people do it and seen it go great for them as well. And kind of the reason why I preach it so much is, you know, what is most people's biggest fear about buying a house is, you know, I'm going to be tied down to that payment. It's often going to be a larger payment, not always. That's why we like house hacking, and I'll get into that, but it's most likely going to be a larger payment than I was paying renting. And house hacking kind of solves that that big fear right there, because your payment might go up a little bit. Let's just use an example. Your rent was $2,000. Now your mortgage is $3,000. But if you buy a duplex and your mortgage is $3,000, but you get to rent the other unit out for $1,500, you know, your mortgage payment that you're responsible now is just half of that at $1,500. You're now paying less than you were renting. And you know, I practice what I preach. I've done that myself. I went from, you know, renting at a couple $1,000s a month to owning, you know, a duplex and paying $600 a month to live there in a house that I owned, which was much nicer than the home I was renting as well. So, it's kind of a way to get over that big hurdle that a lot of people, think about when buying a home.
And do you have to have extra money for this? Like, do people then have to suddenly go to the 20% down, like for an investment property? Or
yeah, that's a great question. And no, absolutely not. I did it with 3.5% down. And that's what most people do. They'll use an FHA loan, buy a duplex, put 3.5% down. You can also do it on conventional as well, up to 4 units, 5% down. Yeah. I mean, and you can even couple down payment assistance with it and pay less than 3 or 5% down as well. So
how many units can you do with an FHA loan?
FHA, you can go up to 4.
Oh, you can do 4 as well with that.
Yeah, you can. And a lot of people do that. And you can do it conventional as well. Conventional, once you get over a duplex, gets a little trickier. And you know, there's things to talk about there, but we don't probably need to get too deep into the weeds. If people are curious about stuff, we can talk, you know, offline, or they can reach out with questions. But just know that conventional, long story short, conventional or FHA, you can house hack.
Okay. So what are the, how are they able to use the potential rent as income to qualify, or do they still have to qualify for the whole thing?
That is a fantastic question. And that is one of, I would say, you know, cutting your mortgage down and maybe paying less than you're renting might be, you know, benefit number one, but benefit a close number two, if not number one itself, is that you get to use the projected income from the other unit as your qualifying income when buying that home. So this is a strategy we use a lot for people that, you know, maybe in their market to get in a home that they would like, it's a $500,000 purchase price, but they're only pre-approved up to 400. And so they're kind of bummed out and they're like, I'm not finding a lot of things that I like. Well, then I have to kind of say, well, maybe let's look at a duplex. Maybe let's look at a home that has an ADU in the backyard that, you know, they might be a little bit more expensive, but we can use 75% of what that unit will rent out for. So if it's going to rent for $2,000 a month, we can use 1500 of that as your qualifying income now, which then raises your approval by a ton, because they know that, hey, there's going to be an income stream from this property that's going to help. It's, you know, we can use that. So it helps people's debt to incomes, helps them afford a lot more house.
So it doesn't even have to be an actual duplex. It can be an ADU or a DADU, just as long as there's another rentable space that's legal.
Yes. Yeah. That's the key right there. And I want to, you know, make sure that we cover that for people. Cause if it's just, you know, you're buying a 4-bedroom house and there's a little basement down below that, you know, there's a little maybe kitchen nook and a bedroom, you could totally still house hack it, but you would need to qualify for the mortgage yourself. Okay. You can't, and people do that with single family homes. A lot of young professionals that are maybe a few years out of college that are paying high rent, you know, and where we are, Seattle, Bellevue, things like that, it's pretty expensive. Mm-hmm. And they're like, well, if I'm going to pay, you know, what I'm paying for rent, why don't I just go buy a 4-bedroom single family home? That's not even a duplex, no daddy, nothing like that. And I'm just going to rent three. I'm already renting a house with three of my buddies. I'm just going to buy the house and rent the other bedrooms to my friends rather than having it be somebody else. And we're all paying rent. So you can totally house hack single family homes and stuff like that too. But when we're looking at using the rent as qualifying income, it needs to be either a multifamily property or a permitted, that's the key, a permitted ADU or DAD, because you can't just throw up a shed in the backyard and, you know, put a hot plate in it and call it a DADU.
So would it need to be before you purchase it all has to be done, right? You wouldn't be able to look at a property and say, oh, I could see how I could make this a duplex and then use a loan. Like, you can't say to the bank, hey, I can split this in half and create a duplex. Like, can I count what I'm going to rent it for? Is that where they say?
You are correct. Yeah. Okay. It kind of needs to be, you know, permitted a multifamily or a permitted DADU, ADU. I don't want to get too into the weeds here. There's ways you can get around it with like border income. If you have to have a certain past of renting out rooms or things like that. There's little ways you can get around it, but for the most part, it needs to be permitted.
Yeah. Okay. So, what's funny is like when I travel, like I was at New Orleans recently and I noticed there was a lot of homes that were like one building, but two homes in it, and they'd be for sale. Right. And it's funny to see because in some areas in the country, this is just so common that everybody lives in a duplex. But then in my area, there's not a lot of duplexes around, and it's a big incentive if there's a duplex. And I just think about how much easier it is probably to get into home buying if you're able to find that situation or create that situation. And because you're going to rent one anyway. So why not go there? And a kind of like, I notice people, I love working with people from like New York or a big city that move here because they don't care. They care less about the noise anywhere.
Yeah.
They're like a main road. They're like, oh, a discount for that. Oh, yeah. I'll take that. This is still quieter than where I used to live. Yep. I love that. The cultural differences on where people are and how it affects home buying, I find fascinating sometimes how they can.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Okay. Yeah. Like you said, I'm working all over the country myself. I mean, each market can often be so different from the next. And it's whether it be nuances with what the insurance is like there or with the taxes, or just like you said, like smaller things that you don't think about financial wise. But, you know, someone coming from New York, they might, you know, the busyness and the noise is comforting to them. If they hear silence out in, you know, Eastern Washington, they might, you know, that might make them uneasy. So it's totally different, you know, all around. It's pretty interesting.
And so how do you recommend someone goes about finding these hacking opportunities? Are there different resources other than, do you just through the MLS and just kind of try to find duplexes, or do you have any insight you can share?
That's a really good question. I would say, step number one is work with a lender and an agent who understand this, you know, like Silas and myself that, kind of understand how this works. You know, I am part of a lot of investor communities, you know, find a lot of off-market deals and things like that. So, you know, if you work with an investor focused professional, there's also could be like little side benefits like that. But I found my deal right off the MLS. You know, it doesn't need to be some creative strategy. There's plenty of deals that you can find on the market. If you have a good agent, have them set you up on a search. And even if you're a year, 2 years out, you know, talk to a lender, even if you're not ready to get your credit pulled and all that stuff, we can kind of do everything but that, get you essentially pre-approved pending a credit pull. Mm-hmm. And as long as you could give us, you know, we'll take your word for it, a pretty accurate representation of your credit. Then whenever you are ready, all we kind of do is update, you know, get your last few pay subs, make sure nothing's changed. You didn't, you know, go buy a brand new boat or anything like that. And we click a button, pull your credit, and you're good to go. So knowing what your budget is huge. And then saying, okay, if I were to buy a place and let's just use a conservative number, maybe $1,500 a month, we'll rent for the other unit. How is that going to change my approval? And then talk to an agent. Like I said, I got set up on a search 2 years before I bought my home. But by that time, you know, in two counties, I was getting every single multifamily property sent to my inbox that was put on the market. And so after 2 years, even though I started before I was ready, I was so used to, oh, a duplex popped up. I'd analyze the look at the numbers. I got worked that muscle so much, you know, by the time I was in Hawaii at the time that the property in Washington that I bought came across my desk. But 5 minutes after I got the email, I called my agent and said, we're putting in an offer. I don't even need to see it, because I had worked the repetition over and over hundreds and hundreds of times that I was like, this is the one. So start before you're ready. You don't need to, you know, buy before you're ready, but at least start working that muscle, you know, work with good professionals. And also a little nugget that I would say too is maybe have your agent put, you know, keywords of listings that come up. So maybe they're not a duplex or, you know, triplex, fourplex, but maybe you put in like unfinished basement, or like we said, ADU, like there's little things that you can kind of do, you know, put little keywords that if it shows up in a listing, it's going to get sent to you that, you know, might not be your traditional, but might be kind of those more unique type of house hack opportunities like we talked about.
I meet a lot of people who don't want to be a landlord. And what I try to tell them is that I think it's a lot different in a duplex situation, because it's going to be pretty obvious if something is happening to the house, for one, because you're there. You still probably have the inherent risk of maybe them not paying, but I feel like it's a little harder for someone to feel like they can not pay when they have to see you every day.
Yeah.
Like you're next to the wall and you're like, well, you can't pretend you're not home. Like what fears do you, are there other fears that you hear from people about this that you can address?
Totally. And you know, I think it's important to cover, you know, both sides of the coin. Like there's nothing in life that's going to be all pros and no cons. Landlording can take a little bit of work, but there's things that you can do to minimize that work. And I always, the thing I preach is your screening process. You know, make sure you're seeing, you know, as a landlord, you can ask for their pay stubs. They can say no, but a good tenant is going to have no issue saying, oh yeah, here's my pay stubs, here's my bank statements. You know, make sure that they have the money, make sure that it's not going to be a huge burden for them. You know, call their past landlords, get references, maybe drive, like what a lot of people do as landlords, or at least good landlords, is drive past the house that they currently live in. You know, how are they taking care of the yard? Is, you know,
really?
How is their car?
That never occurred to me.
How does their car look? Is their car a mess? You know, you can kind of start to, you know, pick things up on, you know, how these people present themselves. And so a big part of it is screening, because if you find good people, that's going to cut about 90% of the problems that you're going to have. Of course, there's no perfect way to do it. Mm-hmm. But you know, do all at least the easy stuff, the credit report, the, you know, criminal history, all that stuff. You know, there's a lot of companies that have it out there. You pay $40 and you get all that, and you can have the tenant do all of that. And then just, you know, getting good people will solve most of your problems. Like you said as well, you also live at the house. So if there's, you know, you kind of have an eye on things as well. But for my situation, I rarely ever talk to my tenants. I mean, I like, you know, we can do a whole nother episode on types of multifamily and stuff, but I love the side-by-side. And we had our own fence backyards and hedges down our driveway. So it's a duplex, but it lived almost like two single family homes.
Oh, your own backyard.
Yeah. We had, it's on 3/4 acre. We both have big, large backyards, 2-car garages in between the homes. So we don't really hear each other at all. There's ways that you can minimize like a lot of the worries that I hear is like, oh, I don't want to be, you know, sharing a house with my tenants. I don't want to be, you know, that close to them. Like there's ways you can find properties that minimize all that. Like I said, there was garages in,
That's interesting that you said that, because so I have a house that does have a large, I'm on a large lot than normal.
Yeah.
So I can put a dadu in back if I want. And one of my hesitations has been, well, I don't want to have to share my backyard with them. But it never occurred to me that I could just, like, within my fence, maybe fence out another area and say, well, this is your yard.
Yeah.
Like, you, it didn't occur to me because I was thinking property lines and stuff. And I'm like, oh, I guess I could just say, well, this is the yard with comes with it. The rest of it is
totally
another person. So don't even. Sorry, you don't get to use it unless you're invited over or something. But
yeah, and a ton of people do that, especially with when they build dadus and stuff like that. You can kind of, you know, you're not subdividing, but with a fence, you can kind of, you know,
yeah,
you know, just kind split of your backyard,
create an area, and yeah, kind of create your own privacy, because it's the same issue I have with my neighbor. My neighbor can look over my fence if they want, right? So it's not really anything different, exactly, other than, yeah. So, wow, you might have just cost me a lot of money now, because I might have to build something, because that's been my whole delay on it has been, how do I not share my backyard? I can create a backyard for them. That's cool.
There's a lot of just little tiny things that can make big differences.
Yeah. Yeah. It's becoming, I feel, more necessary to figure out these kinds of things. Single family homes are getting, you know, they're knocking them down and putting townhouses up and such, and so much that I think it's important to start looking about how they can hack their way into home ownership before they are stuck with townhome ownership, because you're just not going to have those opportunities with the townhouse to, I mean, yeah, you could qualify for the whole thing and rent out a floor or something, but a room, but I just think it's so important to find these opportunities for duplexes and triplexes. And I think it's important to find a lender like you that's used to it. And so are there any other things we haven't covered that people, that, you know, is a common question when people enter this situation?
That's a good question. I'm sure I could come up with a few. I think you just kind of touched on the biggest thing, is a lot of people are just starting to feel like, you know what, home ownership's probably just not going to be for me. You know, prices on everything just keep going up. You know, rates are high. You know, just inflation, the cost of living to go buy groceries is, you know, people are just a little bit defeated, I think, right now. And I think this is just one of the biggest ways to help kind of get over that.
Oh, I know the question. How long would I have to live at this house before I can move out of a duplex and rent both of them out?
A great question. And I'm really happy you asked this, because I probably would have forgot to say, I always like to say, you know, house hacking is great while you live in it. It's even better once you move out. And the short answer, I want to answer your question before I go off on a little tangent here, is typically a year. FHA home, you got to live in the home for a year.
Just a year?
Just a year.
Oh, wow. That was
long. And so it's not that bad. But yeah, a lot of people ask, well, couldn't I just say I'm living in it? I was like, yeah, you could, but that would also be mortgage fraud.
And right.
I don't think that you want to do that. And I'm not going to sign off on that on my end. So you'd have to go find a shady lender, I guess. But so that's the big thing. You got to move into the property. You've got to live in it for a year at least. And I just did this myself. I'll kind of use my own example. I bought a duplex, lived in it for about a year and a half. I fixed up one of the units while I lived in it. And then, you know, a lot of people just think about the house hack part, but think about when you move out of that home, or maybe you're ready to buy your next home. You don't have to sell that home necessarily, because now that you move out of that unit, now you have two rental units at that property. And more often than not, that more than covers the mortgage and puts a check in your pocket every month, which then helps you go afford your next property. And just think what a couple house hacks can do, maybe in your, wherever you're starting, if you're starting in your 20s, if you're starting in your 30s, even if you're starting in your 40s, if you bought maybe a duplex, let's just say every other year, and you don't need to be super rich or making all this money to do that, because you've got the rental income from the other side helping you. You know, the goal is you're paying less than you were renting. Imagine you do that three times over the next, you know, 5 to 10 years. You now have 6 rental units, and rents go up over time. Your mortgage goes down over time. It really does start to put in, you know, things into perspective. Like, I don't need to own 30 rental units or 50 rental units to, you know, have a good side income and be able to, you know, retire, have a little bit of time back in my freedom. You know, you only need maybe 1, 2, 3 properties. And my duplex itself is, you know, cutting me a good check every month that now helps me to, you know, cover my next property, a good chunk of my payment there. So it really does snowball.
So if I did, I could buy with an FHA loan, 3.5% down, I could buy a duplex.
Yep.
Then after a year, and I'm renting out the other side. So then after a year, I can find another duplex. Can I use the income that's projected from my half that I was living in?
Yes.
So, yeah, okay. So that'll offset the.
Yeah. Yes. So, we don't need to get too into the weeds there, but typically you'll need you can't just say, hey, my side will probably rent for this. Give me 75% of that in my projected income. You might need to line up a lease. You might need to vet tenants and have someone lined up to move in, beforehand. So I go to an
Airbnb while I'm shopping or something.
Yeah. Or even stay in the place, line somebody up and say, hey, I'm going to be closing on my next house, you know, July 1st. So I'm going to move out then, and you'll move in, you know,
as long as I have the signed lease ready to go that they're going,
yeah, how much there's, is yep. There's ways that you can totally get that to work.
And so I don't have to do I not have to have 2 years of income from a rental before I can count it?
Not necessarily.
Sometimes.
Yeah, we're kind of, yeah. There, okay. Just know for the listeners that, you know, aren't a real estate agent or lender, there's a lot of different products in lending, and every product has different rules. So if we start to get too into it, you know, some might be yes, some might be no, and things like that. Some are a little more lenient than others, but rental history will definitely help make things easier, make your underwriting process a little easier, maybe, you know, not have to jump through as many hoops and things like that. But just for the listener, know on a lot of the conversation we've been having, it depends on product, some of this stuff. So I just got to be careful because
some of these listeners are 50 episodes in now. So they've heard different scenarios on what if. And I've said, you need 2 years of income to do this, or you need this for that. So we're just trying to qualify some of it when new information pops up. I'm 10 years into real estate about now, and I'm still learning. And so sometimes I don't know if rules have changed, and I go like, cause I'm like, oh, I've never heard of that before. And then I find out, oh yeah, cause it changed like 90 days ago. Like, oh, okay. That would have been nice to get a memo on. But so I'm still discovering things, because it's one of the joys I have of real estate in general, is that it's an ever-changing, every client is unique, every house is unique. I know that's not all areas where they're all suburbs that are the exact same home everywhere, but everything is unique. So even though I'm doing the same kind of thing each time, it fills my ADHD brain with excitement of learning a new thing every single time I go to a house and look at their situation and how they're buying. And
yeah, no, 100%. My brain works the same way. You know, you bring up a really good point, is these rules are changing all the time. And especially in lending, you know, I get emails weekly that's like, hey, this guideline changed on this product. And that's why I do my weekly, you know, video newsletter, because I try and keep, you know, my agents and clients, investors and stuff informed, because like you said, you could know everything, you know guidelines like the back of your hand, but that doesn't matter when they're changing all the time. So you really do, you know, in real estate, always need to be learning and staying on top of what's going on.
Okay. Well, great. It's great to meet, Well, I've known you a while, but it's great for my listeners to meet somebody who stays up with everything and gets creative with how to make a property sale happen without, you know, that there's always a solution. We can always find a solution in something. And this is this house hacking, I think the second half of this decade, I think we're going to see a lot more of it needing to happen. Oh, yeah. So,
yep.
Well, I appreciate you taking time with me today, Kyle. Where can folks reach you if they want to connect?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, my name's Kyle Hendricks is my full name at Movement Mortgage. So quick Google search will pull up a lot. But I'm Kyle Hendricks Home Loans. .com is my website, Kyle Hendricks Home Loans on Instagram. And from there, I've got a link tree with all my stuff. And, you know, I do a newsletter as well for any listeners that, you know, kind of an email, you know, weekly that keeps people in tune on what's going on with rates. Like you just said, guideline changes, yeah. All that stuff.
And I'll try to remember to put a graphic right here that has your contact info and people, cool. People watching can send it there.
Yeah. Yeah. And thank you for having me on. It's been a pleasure. And, I'm also a listener of the podcast as well. So it's, it's great to be on and, yeah, I really appreciate it. You do a good job.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. And thank you all you folks out there. Thank you for listening and thank you for buying a home with Silas Lindenstein.
Silas gets real, buy and sell homes with a thrill. Out Seattle, baby, you know what's the deal. And he keep it real, showing you the way till it's better known. I help you buy your forever home. He a real estate Jedi. Yeah, he got you. Silas Lindenstein got your back, let him spot you. Help you sell your home while you do what you love. So come in, don't forget to wipe your feet on the rug. Silas gets real, buy and sell homes with a thrill. Out Seattle, baby, you know what's the deal. And he keep it real. Help you sell your home, show you everything. As you move on to better things. He a real estate Jedi. Yeah, he be that. Silas Lindenstein got your back, just believe that. Help you buy the home that you want, so come on. Have a seat and let's find your dream home, let's get it going. Yeah. Beats.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.